listen to Duff over here at Veterans Today. Listen to him run his own PSYOP here. Last week, a heroic American took his assault rifle in hand, drove across the country for a day, and showed up at a Washington, D.C. restaurant to save the children he had heard were being held there as sex slaves. See, you see the lie here in his first sentence? It's been exposed this guy was an actor, IMDb. The whole thing was a fraud. Tape was already up as he's being arrested. I mean, this is the psyops that Duff runs on you at VT. The Comet restaurant fake news was initially featured in hundreds of phony viral websites as a location of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's satanic pedophile sex ring. Now listen to this. The story moved from 1,400 robo sites believed run by the Trump campaign, servers located in Macedonia, quickly to the podcast Alternative Press. See, Macedonia gets thrown in again like WikiLeaks. Here is very readable and listenable end of the story. No sources, nothing verified, entirely made up, found a new life. And up to 100 million Americans now not only believe it, they attack and even boycott news sources that refuse to repeat it. No, they don't. There's a bunch of shills that have done no research, that have done no looking across all the platforms and all the creepy trash that want to spew forth BS like you are right now, Duff. I've seen so many dot connecting videos and so forth and so on. I can't even go into it. YouTubers alone have done so much with all the visuals, all the Instagram feeds of all these buffoons and these creeps wearing rubber shirts and all this weird trash. It's disgusting. I mean, these guys that try to run this kind of fraud on you, they're running cover for this rings of freaks. We have now opened the door to issues that may well overwhelm us. It has long been apparent that news media and entertainment around the world, with some exceptions, the paid press and the corporate news, are under not only control but purposely disinform, uniform, and outright lie. Yeah, the mainstream, markstream scum do that. The YouTubers that ain't got a dime in their pocket, they're not the ones that are doing this. And you say they're robo sites. I like that. And so this is the kind of crap we're seeing out of Duff and some of these other people. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip four. This young lady that's one of these Pizzagate YouTubers that's gotten death threats and so forth.
Essentially, what these people want us to do is to apologize for ever speaking out on Pizzagate and to say that we were spreading lies. That all we wanted was YouTube views. That all we wanted was your money. I need your support, and that's what I want. As we march headfirst into the flames of truth, because it is truth. The truth is there is a global elite pedophile ring that has been proven throughout history. It has yet to be debunked by anyone claiming or screaming at the top of their lungs fake news. So no one is claiming that what we say is gospel. Instead, what we are saying is that the pursuit of truth is our purpose. And if discovering the truth about Pizzagate is not important, I don't know what is. So the sort of threats I've been receiving range from, we're going to hack into your YouTube account and change all your titles, we're going to delete all your videos, we're going to do this and that, we're going to shut down your social media. There have been attempts to do so. Someone's been trying to figure out my passwords on everything. It's ranged from that to, we're going to come kill you. We're going to find your address and kill you. I'm sure someone's capable of all those things. But regardless, I'm just one person. You can't silence
when Sandy Hook was being uncovered. The amount of disinfo that's
producer. Go ahead and get clip 14 ready. Now this is Mr. Seaman, David Seaman. Oh, he was used to work right for the Huffington Post. And Jones interviewed him after they locked him out of the Huffington Post because he asked questions about Hillary's health. And so a lot of people are thinking this guy might be a psyop running as a truther now to run basically operations to suck people into Pizzagate. But let's hear from him in the next couple clips. Go ahead and hit clip 14.
Of course, I don't live my life for what is going to be written about me on Wikipedia, but it is unusual that I had an established article that went through some of my previous job titles and some of the previous positions I've held within the corporate media, and now 95% of that information is simply gone. It's disappeared, and it says it is proposed that this article be deleted because of the following concern. No significant in-depth, reliable sourcing supporting notability. Article subject is commentator and YouTube personality, but not a prominent one. Well, I'm not going to dispute that. I don't know how they decide if you're prominent or not, but there was already an article about me talking about my previous roles in the media, and now they're just randomly deciding that I'm not even significant enough to be mentioned on Wikipedia. That's ultimately up to them to decide, of course. But when I check my About page, I'm up to 10.3 million views here on YouTube, and then I have some other views on other video platforms. But 10.3 million views, I've paid $0 to get those viewers. It's just because I'm putting out accurate information and doing so on a timely basis. I started my account back in 2008, but I've only been posting here really regularly and routinely since the Huffington Post ended my column. I wanted to continue speaking to my audience somehow, and I've chosen YouTube as the place to do that. But 10.3 million views, maybe that's not prominent, but it is unusual that they're targeting my article now. So you start talking about Pizzagate, and they just try to delete you from the internet? Is that the deal? Because in that case, we just talk about Pizzagate even louder than we were doing before, if that's possible. I'm just going to talk about Pizzagate even more, you elite idiots, because here's the deal. Pizzagate is real. Pizzagate is real. Pizzagate, again, is real. And just deleting my Wikipedia entry or doing some lame character attacks that I'm likely going to sue you folks over for an enormous amount of money, that stuff doesn't bother me, but it is an interesting tell. If there were nothing here, if this were just a random pizza shop that was the victim of online bullying and some rumors that were not based in fact, where would all of these resources be coming from? What is really going on here? Thank you for watching.
You're yeah. watching the David.
All right, you can stop it there. Let's go on to clip 15, and this is David Seaman again.
So for the first time in more than 8 years on YouTube, I started my account in 2008. I've received a notice from YouTube of a content violation strike, which has now been recorded against my record. Two more strikes, and I'll be permanently banned from YouTube. Now, I received this strike for a video about Pizzagate, which they have removed from their network. It is no longer on my channel. They did that deletion. They even state as such. And the message I received, that's the message I received when I logged into YouTube today. So this is a formal strike. I, along with a legal advisor, have reviewed every second of this video. Nothing in it violates anybody else's copyrights. Nothing in it is slander. Nothing in it is slander or libelous. The only piece of content that's not mine, in fact, is a fair use screenshot of a tweet from Andrew Breitbart in 2011, there it is, who died in 2012, a year after publicly fingering John Podesta as an underage sex slave operator, which in light of the recent WikiLeaks emails of John Podesta's own inbox, and in light of the widening Pizzagate scandal, appears to be highly newsworthy and relevant, so I don't know why highlighting a dead man's tweet from 2011, I don't know why highlighting a dead journalist's tweet is a violation of YouTube's policy. I'm a journalist. I'm conducting very sound, very simple journalism here. Restore that video and remove that strike from my record immediately. There is no reason for it. It's just intimidation. So now I'm supposed to be intimidated because I only have two more strikes left before you remove my primary source of income from me and make me essentially unemployed, which Huffington Post already tried to do by removing my column. Now you're going to remove my YouTube channel where I'm allowed to upload what I want. That wasn't a profane video. That wasn't a video abusing or harassing minorities or anybody. It wasn't spreading slander. It's a piece of journalism.
All right, you can stop it, Mr. Producer. All right. So let's just kind of analyze this for a second. So the entire weight of the YouTube community, even mainstream huge outfits, TV outfits, have wasted their time protecting this pizza parlor. I mean, it's just so weird, isn't it, that this would rise to the level of this warfare. I mean, you got to be a moron to think. And let me just say this to these other radio hosts who say it's all one big psyop, it's all fake, and blah, blah, blah. Have you looked at this Alifantis character in his relationship with David Brock from Media Matters? Have you looked at the Instagram feeds? Have you looked at all the photographic evidence? Have you looked at all the other connections that all these muscle heads, and I'm not saying like physical, but I'm saying muscle head researchers that have connected to all these dots? And then you got people that sit behind microphones and say the whole thing was fake, and all this crap is fake. I mean, it really, really makes you look at somebody. And I heard hosts cutting people off that say, people have said, hey, wait a minute, have you looked at this? I'm going to let you go. You hear people doing that kind of crap, and they don't want to even let somebody get a thought in. You better start looking at people and be like, what's your agenda? Because you think you know everything. You think because you've been in this game for a minute that you've been around for a minute that you can just cut people off and you can just say with impunity that you know what. I could bring you people like Kyle over there at Renegade. This guy's a machine on Pizzagate. He's been on it to where it's just like, bring this guy on your show if you want to say it's a fraud. Or bring some of these other people that have really done the heavy lifting and you want to say it's all bogus and it's all a psyop, it's all a honey trap. I just want to say, all you chumps that want to talk all that smack, you know what? You got something going on with you, because what happened to your inquisitiveness? What happened to your curiosity? I thought you wanted to get dig down into the truth, but all of a sudden, your little soft behind wants to run cover for what could be a bunch of sickos. And we already know the sickos are here. I've went through the litany: Sandusky, Franklin cover-up, Larry Craig, Mark Foley, all the scum, Bohemian Grove, Jimmy Savile. I mean, how many pedos you got to name before you start looking at things? And you'd be like, oh, and then all the symbology in Hollywood and the music industry with pizza, all the TV shows, everything. Now, some of that, of course, is innocuous and it's innocent. But when people get the tattoos and all the weird trash, you got to know, folks, there's this underbelly of evil. And then people want to poo-poo you like they're superior, like they've already looked into it, when they've probably done 10 minutes of research, when you got other people over here that have put in hours and hours into it. It really, really is disgusting that these know-it-alls behind mics, you know, they're so willing to say, I already know it's all fake, blah, 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 blah. You know what you're doing? You're doing the job of the enemy. If somebody needs to reach through the television screen, reach through your computer screen and smack you. All right. Let's go to clip 18, Mr. Producer. Fake news.
It was very difficult to sit there and listen to Hillary talk about people proliferating fake news, whether it be an organization and or social media. Playing the blame game, pointing the finger at Russia, pointing the finger at all these different supposed fake news organizations during the election. Pointing the finger at all of these different apparatuses whether they be websites, whether they be networks, whether they be individuals, whether they be prominent members on social media getting tens, if not hundreds of millions of views collectively or individually. So now somehow, some way, the very people that are in charge of this masses panopticon want to put clamps down on all of the information that is being shared with each other all over the world. Is that right? Let's go ahead and talk about fake news, shall we? Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and talk about how the mainstream media's fake news during our lives have resulted in the slaughter of tens of millions of people and hundreds of thousands of American lives, your mothers, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors, your friends. Let's go ahead and talk about that, your fake news, right? Okay, let's go ahead and burp some out, shall we? 1960s, the Gulf of Tonkin, ABC, NBC, and CBS burped out of their mouths about how some sort of spectacular attack occurred. And because of it, it drew us right into the Vietnam War, in which almost 60,000 American lives were lost because of your fake news. Let's go ahead and continue with your fake news. How about in the 1990s, when CNN was doing a supposed live broadcast with these Scud missiles going off? And you had the correspondents putting on gas masks and their little helmets while they're sitting there telling a big old line of nonsense, garbage, and fake news to the entire world. Let's go ahead and continue about fake news. What about the fake news that was told to the international public about WMDs in Iraq, in which yet again drew the United States and other nations into a war without provocation, to assault another nation of its sovereignty because of your fake news? But let's go ahead and continue. How about the President of the United States, the Ambassador to the United Nations, and Hillary herself prancing around the globe telling everyone that the reason why Benghazi occurred was because of a YouTube video? You want to talk about fake news? Well, let me give you a little bit of reality there, fake news people. Let me give you just a little touch of reality. The masses are waking up in every country, in every state, in every city, in every town, in every municipality. They are awake to your fakeness, your fake financial reports, your fake unemployment numbers, your fake budgets, because the whole system obviously is fake with your fake judicial system, your fake FBI, your fake DOJ. And you wonder why people in mass voted for new leadership? Well, this is why. Because the whole thing is a fraud and a fake. Please chime in.
You can stop.
I'm monographing if against me, truly your.
I know the music's going to be coming in a second, but I mean, the balls of these people, these Soviets, this is what this is. This is Pravda. This is Xinhua coming at you. And they're going to try it because they got these buffoons running these streets. They think there's enough of them out here. They're going to have their back. These Bernie tards. These never Trump buffoons. I mean, look, I don't like Trump necessarily, but look at the dorks on the streets, the rabble, this trash. I sent out a tweet last night. A bunch of people looked at it. Lena Dunham, she walks by this guy taking a crap on the streets of New York with this horrific look on her face. It's like, lady, this is what you wanted. This is what you and all your ilk wanted. And so let me do this. Mr. Producer. This is on the incogman.net. Pizzagate deniers scream, that's not whack-off art. Okay? And I'm going to get to a good portion of this article. Nobody talks about pizzas, hot dogs, Domino's, and cheese constantly like this in emails. There's definitely coded lingo going on. Plenty of people think Pizzagate pedophiles are real in some kind of way, scaring the hell out of the elitist media power structure who can't figure out how to stop it from spreading, resorting to a brand new made-up term called fake news, while also trying to conflate with the idea of diabolical Ruski hackers working for Trump's secret little buddy, Vladimir Putin, the real reason why Hillary was defeated, or the so they want us to believe. This Tony Podesta guy is indeed a giant D.C. lobbyist for the libtard Dems, a true swamp critter. And don't you think victim artwork could be a big turn-on for victimizers? Let's say I have on my walls big blow-up shots of slightly chubby 50s gals all gagged and tied up. Rough hemp cordage buried deep in flabby pink flesh and faces smeared with cheap makeup. Would you not logically suspect I was a big bondage and discipline freak? Come on, man. Of course you would. Or maybe I should just put up realistic paintings of Palestinian children bombed dead by Israel or or women murdered by blacks all over my house just so I can feel the pain and get a big daily caring too much because I'm such a caring world citizen. Such art would never see the light of day in art galleries in the first place because the Jewish ADL thought police would sick the FBI on them for being Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews. You can look at the artwork Tony Podesta bought from the Bulgarian, wherever the hell he comes from, and it sure the hell looks like kitty diddler stuff. And I would suggest go on the incogman.net and look at all the weird artwork these freaks have in their place. Okay? I'm just saying there's so much evidence, I think, that it's overwhelming to a point where if you're not a machine and you're not really interested and you don't do the digging and the dot connecting, then you could be behind a microphone and saying, oh, it's all fake. This isn't a real. These wimps, you can tell they're wimps by their little nasally voices. But give me a break. There's been so much heavy lifting done with these pedo networks all across the planet. The New York Times just spiked a pedo article about this big Norway network. They put it out, and then days later they spiked it and they scrubbed it from the website. This stuff's getting out. People are finally realizing that there's a tie-in. Let me talk about it. The three P's: power, psychopathy, pedophilia. The three P's. Put that in your psyche. Remember it. Power, psychopathy, pedophilia. All right? This is really what's running the show right now. Okay? Now, I got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the School of America. And I had this in my notes. The School of America. Think about this angle on this immigrant kind of weird genocidal agenda of people that live in the West, this total upheaval of their culture. Here's another angle. On top of the ones that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, the genocide of the white population in Canada, the United States, South Africa, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Basically, it's a global operation. You bring in immigrants from every basically crap hole around the world, okay? Many of them who've been disconnected from the Zio Matrix. Then you bring them into every Weimar Zio-controlled crap hole in the West, like what our countries basically have turned in, especially in our inner cities. And this is where a lot of our immigrants go, if you notice, into the inner cities, which are already warlord-run silliness. Then you expose all of them to the worst armpit of these Western societies, which is our inner cities, right? You culturally ruin them because they see the worst of the worst, the gutter of America or Canada, like Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, whatever. Then it's a bleed over into their cultures. It bleeds over and it gets put back into where they might have been kind of inoculated from this toxicity somewhat. I know this Western culture has pretty much penetrated into most of the planet and gutted it and trashed it. But think about this. This bleed over of the worst of the worst cultures into all these people, and then some of them go home, they talk to their people. It's like this, you bring them into the spider's web, they get stung, and then they go out and bring the venom out into their own, the rest of the planet. And this is like kind of, you had the School of the Americas where they'd send the death squads in Central and South America. Now we got the School of America where we bring the victims in. They get toxified by this wicked Weimar culture, and then it bleeds out into the rest of the planet, and the whole thing turns into a Zio crap hole. And this is just something that kind of passed through my mind in the last week or two, but I'm like, gosh, this is another angle to this whole thing. Think about these Somalis. They come to get to into America, and what, they all become thugs, even worse than they were. They become like Islamic hip hop ADIQ buffoons with a real crap hole culture. See you guys on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zipa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting a guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zipa.com now. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. We're not going to tolerate this, all right? Snoring is not okay. Someone next to you is snoring, you tell them to buy a Zipa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. I know that you listen to these snoring things and you're thinking, well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems. A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you gotta stop it. What you gotta do is get this fixed. Get a Zipa and change your life. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get it moving. I saw this floating around. Website Above the Law calls on America's black jurors to acquit all blacks who rape and murder whites. White genocide is a slow process of many techniques, tactics, protocols, and procedures, including justifying it as something other than what it is. Excerpted from the Washington Examiner, a new wrinkle in the Black Lives Matter movement. An editor of a top-rated legal website is calling on blacks to scare whites by automatically acquitting African-Americans accused of murdering or raping whites, no matter what the facts. On Above the Law, African-American editor Ellie Mistow called for jury nullification. Remember that word, jury nullification by blacks when on injuries and trials that focus on white victims. I'm going to send this to the producer real quick. Hold tight. He wants to read this. All right. Now, jury nullification would get white people's attention. Remember how pissed off white people were about OJ? And that was just one dude. White people would notice that black jurors simply refused to play along. Mistel is a lawyer and media pundit for the popular website that covers legal wranglings and law gossip. His column came after a mistrial of a murder case against a white cop who shot a black man. Mistel said that blacks are frustrated with the legal system and should take it out in the courtroom. He suggested it's a practice white juries use to help police charged with assaulting or killing blacks. Maybe it's time for minorities got in the game. Black people lucky enough to get on a jury could use that power to acquit any person charged with a crime against white men and white male institutions. It's not about the race of the defendant, but if the alleged victim was a white guy or his bank or his position or his authority, we could acquit. Assault, acquit. Burglary, acquit. Insider trading, acquit. Murder, what the hell do you think is happening to black people out here? What the hell do you think we're complaining about when your cops shoot us or choke us? Acquit. Yeah, that. Live in a black neighborhood and you'll realize that black people are out of control on a massive, massive proportion. And buffoons like this probably don't live in a majority black area because he would shut his mouth. Here's the thing. Jury nullification. This is big in the libertarian circles. Now some of these characters, they've appropriated this white kind of cultural phenomenon called jury nullification. They want to culturally appropriate it to them. Wait a minute. And now they want to say that anytime a black person murders or rapes or kills or robs or what burglarizes a white person, hey, just nullify. Now, white people using jury nullification was for bad law, okay? They're talking about drug cases and blah, 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 blah. This guy is just an outright, basically, blanarchist, a black anarchist that basically says, hey, we should be able to run roughshod over the community, and especially if it's the person we victimize is white, hey, let's just all vote to acquit, you see? And this ties into another thing that I was talking, when I was dealing with, I was at a bar with my pops and some of these old people, and somebody that was in there talked about they worked in around the court system, and basically all these people running around with tickets up the wazoo, no insurance, no license, all this crap, and they constantly keep driving, getting new tickets. And then they expect special treatment. They expect, hey, can I just give you $5? This is we're approaching a level of like a two or three tiered system of anarchy. Unfortunately, like some of our like hood level black people, like I'm talking hood, like. They don't know anything else but like the survival of the streets, struggle, blah blah blah. They basically they think they're above all the traffic laws, and now you see this movement across the country that because people say, oh, this is all racist. Everything's racist. These people running around banging up people's cars. I mean, all you people that are into the sovereign kind of movement and driver's licenses are unnecessary and all the rest of this. You probably don't own your own car and you probably don't live near the hood, because then you would realize that, you know what, the whole thing's anarchy. We might as well just mount machine guns on the hoods of our cars and on the roofs if we're going to go to that kind of system, because that's the way these people are operating anyway. You can watch. I was sending the YouTube videos around to these black chicks, and they were straight destroyed each other's cars. They got in a fight, and then it looked like something out of a an old, you know, smash up derby, you know, movie. The way they're doing, and all these people are like filming it and putting it on World Star Hip Hop. I mean, the whole thing was so ridiculous, but. I mean, we're moving into a system to where, look, a large swath of our population is incapable of self-government. And so I don't know what the answer is here, but like if I get pulled over, I get a ticket, what? They're going to expect me to pay it. But then these other people, the victim classes, because there's just, oh, my God, the racist system and all the rest. They'll let them off, and so we're reaching this system to where now it's just like the whole thing's about to go belly up, and everybody knows it. Nobody wants to talk about it, and that's what's really crazy. I wanted to play this, Mr. Producer, get clip 5 ready, and this is Orwell versus Huxley. Let's play a couple of minutes of that. Go ahead to clip 5.
What I think is the cold, hard truth about what's going on, explained through the words written by Neil Postman in a book he wrote called Amusing Ourselves to Death. The images are drawn by Stuart McMillan in May of 2009, and it shows the contrast between Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, versus George Orwell, the author of 1984. What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, or there would be no one who would want to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egotism. Orwell feared the truth would be concealed from us. Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. Orwell feared we would become a captive culture. Huxley feared we would become a trivial culture, preoccupied with some equivalent of the feelies, the orgy porgy, and the centrifugal bumble puppy. As Huxley remarked in Brave New World Revisited, the Sybil libertarians and rationalists who are ever on the alert to oppose tyranny failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. In 1984, people are controlled by inflicting pain. In Brave New World, people are controlled by inflicting pleasure. In short, Orwell feared that what we hate will ruin us. Huxley feared that what we love will ruin us.
All right, you can stop it. That's food for thought, folks, because I've always kind of looked at these dichotomies and is like, yeah, we're getting screwed on both ends. We're getting, it's like these folks have devised this scheme to kind of use this as a vice, both of those things squeezing us to where we're going to pop. And that's really the best I can explain it in a few words. Let's get clip 13 ready, Mr. Producer, because this is what we're facing. Go ahead and hit it.
Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Microsoft are teaming up against online "quote unquote" terrorist content. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Microsoft are teaming up against online terrorist content. We know what this means, folks. But I don't think we ever predicted or expected them to do something quite like this, even though we've thought that this is what they were doing. But censorship is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not subscribed to the emails of our website, you risk not getting informed by us. Because of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Microsoft censorship. As I've told you guys before, we get hit hard on YouTube. And what I mean by that is, they discourage our videos showing up from search results. They discourage our videos. They discourage our posts. They discourage a lot of things from us. And of course, they demonetize as well. But this is about to get a lot worse. Four of the world's biggest disseminators of online content, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Microsoft, said today that they are ready to do more quote-unquote self-policing to keep terrorist propaganda from spreading on the internet. The companies say they will create a shared database to track quote-unquote violent terrorist imagery. This is huge because if we go to YouTube's policies, their advertising policies, they say this is what they will not allow to basically to be a monetizer, so on and so forth, or to show up in their search results.
You can stop that there.
But have you, producer, do we post anything terrorist?
They're getting you guys getting it? Yeah, they tolerate ISIS and the rest, Mr. Producer. They can have their own Twitter profiles, the rest of it. It's talking about those of us here in the United States, those of us that care about anything real. Mr. Producer, let's get clip 20 ready. And this is another fake news one, but go ahead and hit clip 20.
What we're seeing right now is a coordinated effort to basically take everything that the government does not want people sharing online and slap labels on it of hate speech, cyberbullying, fake news, and now Russian propaganda. Just going to mix that all together in a giant ball and justify censoring it. And you can see when you take a step back and really look at what's going on, how coordinated this effort really is. But before I get into all of that in detail, I just want to point out really quick, because I've brought this up before and some people have asked me to expand on this, yes, U.S. government propaganda use against the American citizenry is officially legal. And that doesn't mean they weren't doing it before. And how that works is, back in the day, after World War II, we had the Smith-Mundt Act, which was more officially known as the U.S. Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948. While they were shifting from wartime propaganda policies over to peacetime propaganda policies, they put this thing together, and one of the first things they did was specifically prohibit domestic propaganda dissemination. And the assurance was that Congress, academia, and the mainstream media were going to filter out the government's foreign propaganda before it made its way back to American soil. And as you can see, that's worked super well in the last 70 years, especially if you recall the fact that back in the 70s, it came out on record that the CIA had planted their own journalists in the print and television media here in the U.S., specifically to bring the foreign propaganda home and disseminate it. That's what they got caught doing. But fast forward to the signing of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013, in which they specifically amended the Smith-Mundt Act to allow American pro-government propaganda materials produced by the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors to be released inside the United States. So that's it. The gloves have been off since 2013. If you've been wondering why it seems like we're tumbling down this crazy, insane rabbit hole matrix since then, with the kinds of things that have happened in our media, now you know why. Because there's just no restrictions at all on this, of course, in the interest of national security. Fast forward now to the last couple of weeks, and it's just gotten really insane, a total Orwellian clampdown. You may or may not have even heard that this happened, but on November 22nd, the House introduced a bill that specifically had a section in there about Russian propaganda, which was passed on November 30. So they introduced the bill, and 8 days later, they're already passing it. This is H.R. 6393, the Intelligence Authorization Act for Fiscal Year 2017. In it, there's Title V, Matters Relating to Foreign Countries, Section 501, which calls for the U.S. government to, quote, counter active measures by Russia to exert covert influence.
You can stop it. But here's the thing. You got the Amoruse thing I talked about earlier. Then you got this ratcheting up. Right before this inauguration period, it's December 12th now, January 20th. The window keeps getting tighter. It keeps getting smaller. Between now and this inauguration, and it's like the pressure, we're in a vice. It keeps, every day the vice gets turned a little bit further, and the balloon inside the vice, it gets stretched a little bit further. And this is the best I can explain it. It's very, very goofy. Let's hit clip 16, Mr. Producer.
It's time for a little review class, since we're on the eve of World War III. I suppose some of you remember a month ago, prior to the election, the current commander-in-chief, which is just a continuation of the de facto state of martial law that we've been under since March 6, 1933. Go look it up. U.S. military hackers have already penetrated all critical infrastructure of Russia, and they're just waiting for the go code to trigger a complete meltdown of Russia infrastructure. This was presented a month ago, folks. The U.S. Army's already deployed battlefield cyber teams that can accomplish this. They don't have to be near infrastructure. They can be secretly deployed. Oh, we're going to wait for the elections to get over with before we attack Russia. That's what the U.S. government said. Now the whole thing with Trump being a Russian agent coming out with the CIA. Yep. Civilian support teams. Here's the U.S. NORTHCOM civilian support team having an interoperability communications drill last week with the Madison, Wisconsin Police Department. Roger, check, check, check. Can you hear me? 10-4, Roger. Loud and clear. Yeah, well, I guess those civil support teams are going to be ready to take over local law enforcement communications and tell the local sheriff just to go back to his office. We've got this one. You guys still don't believe me, do you? Well, here's training for counterintelligence for police departments. That's been approved. Police departments are being trained in counterintelligence for domestic terrorism? Who's that? Me, you, truthers, fake news people. And the police are being trained. Extension of the police state. By the way, the police state now starts in the college police department. The campus police is the
very beginning. Go ahead, stop it, Mr. Producer. What if the dust up with us in Russia, the whole thing's a theater, and the Amaroos thing is real? That's just, I'm just putting it out there. And then the reports of Russian, you know, operators here is true. So the Democrats who are commies, they dust up this Russian, oh, Vladimir Putin, like all that crap I played. But it's all just a ruse. And the real thing is an Amaroos. It's where we get, you know, all of us people like you and me listening right now, we get extracted by the very people the Democrats wanted to start a war with. It's, you know, it comes up into the mind when you think deeply about these things. Let's hit clip 17, and this is about the electoral crisis that might happen before then. We don't know. Go ahead and hit 17.
If civil war really is going to bother you, really, seriously, don't watch the video. Otherwise, welcome back and standard disclaimers apply. Finally, we got the constitutional crisis started. Yeah, there's lawsuits breaking out everywhere against the Electoral College saying we don't want to honor our commitment to vote for Trump because he's a Russian spy. Russian hackers helped him get elected. The CIA says so. And Trump wants to start a feud with the CIA. It's a tsunami of information and propaganda right now. You can't go on Google and type CIA Trump without getting 2,000 stories about how the CIA says Trump's an enemy agent. Well, that takes care of him. Here we see Colorado, people filing lawsuits. We don't want to support Trump as the Electoral College representatives. Same in California. We don't have to represent the wishes of the people. We don't have to vote for him. Meanwhile, some historian steps up. Yeah, you know, according to the Federalist Papers, Trump's ineligible because he's an enemy agent. Let's see, Federalist 68. Russian election interference for Trump. Russia helped Trump win. Russia meddled in the election for Trump. Trump is ineligible, according to this half-baked historian. Well, the Dave Acton regulars will know that I was predicting this, what, a month ago? There he is, Russian agent. Yeah, nothing new here for the Dave Acton subscribers. It's going to be quasi-martial law. I don't like martial law. It's going to be more of a hybrid civilian government. Trump's never going to be inaugurated. The Electoral College is going to be thrown in chaos. That means the Congress has to vote for him. They'll be thrown in chaos. Then the Senate has to vote for him. They'll be thrown in chaos. Nobody will really be able to call Hillary back. So is it going to be Mike Pence or that Jesuit priest, Kane, or whoever? No, it's going to be a military junta. U.S. Northern Command. And how long ago was it when I covered that? 2 months ago? The civilian control districts? Folks, this is it. Trump's been a decoy. Now, whether or not he's in on it, he's not in on it, who knows? Melania never packed a Kleenex to move to the White House. I've got to spend time with my autistic son. We can't go anywhere. Really? That's not what a first lady's supposed to do, you little selfish mother. Footnote, there seems to be a little bit of emotional incest going on between those two. I didn't want to say anything. So what's it all come down to? Trump's not going to be inaugurated. We're going to go into a constitutional crisis, which will degrade into civil war. Yeah, you know what? I don't care, because after January 1st, I can't buy ammo in California anymore. I have to have a special permit from the Attorney General, or else go to the range and buy 50 rounds and shoot them at the range. Yeah, well, guess what, liberals? You asked for it. Now we're all going to live in a crater. Oh, well. Bring it on! Here we go. It's going to be great. And if you don't want to play the game of civil war, then you lose.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I agree with all those things, but I like to put the various topics out here and the various opinions because, like I said, we're in the vice. It's December 12th. January 20th is this so-called inauguration, and we're in hyperspace. We are in the point where it's going loony. Let's have a little fun. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip 8. You'll love this, listeners.
Wednesday, best day of the week.
Great job getting us drunk.
You could all use a stiff drink.
Fantastic. Margarita day.
If you're not going to drink it, pass it around.
That's all. Spending New Year's Eve.
I'm going to get real drunk.
And I don't blame this lady for having a beer, people.
The only reason you use weed is to intoxicate yourself.
It's a very simple reality. Marijuana leads to doing worse things. That's just a fact.
200% more powerful than the stuff that's grown outdoors. One agent said it best. Here it is, quote, "This ain't your grandfather's marijuana. This stuff will kill you."
The reason I'm against the legalization of pot is because I've seen too many felonies. People on pot that shoot each other, stab each other, strangle each other, drive under the influence, kill families, wipe out a whole family.
Yeah, so that's just the hypocrisy of the...
It's Wednesday, Wednesday.
It's the hypocrisy of the people in the media. It's Wednesday, Wednesday. Margaritas, get drunk, blah, blah, blah. They want everybody to get all wasted on booze, but then there's hoity-toity towards marijuana. And look, I haven't smoked marijuana in a long, long time, but at the same time, I think it's ridiculous that we live in this duplicitous system where you can get, you know, walk up the street and get hard liquor and then, you know, marijuana and still in many of our states. It's just silly. I hope you guys enjoyed the program, folks. It stresses me out to put one of these together now with everything hitting us. So I hope I covered enough for you to keep you listening. Thanks. See you next week, hopefully.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.